Now, the marriage vows talk about forsaking all others, and that includes not looking at other men and women as eye candy. Did you ever wonder that the swimsuit issue of Sports Illustrated is the best-selling issue of the whole year? Did you ever wonder how a book like 50 Shades of Grey sold 125 million copies? What are we doing?
That's coming up on this edition of Guerrilla Christianity. Grace and peace to you and God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Pastor Brent Walker, and this is Guerrilla Christianity. Have you ever been in a conversation with somebody and they say, oh, the Bible is full of contradictions, and oh, Jesus contradicted the Old Testament? So we're going to continue our look at the Sermon on the Mount today, where Jesus is saying, you have heard that it was said, but I say to you, and find out that that doesn't actually contradict the Old Testament. In fact, it goes a little bit deeper than what the oral tradition states. Yesterday, we took a cold, hard look at anger and how it leads to sin. And so today, we're going to look at lust and divorce and adultery. All fun subjects, I'm sure. But we have to remember that when we are convicted by these things, it's the Holy Spirit prodding in our hearts. And so my prayer for you today is that you will receive this teaching with the love that it was given. Now, if you have your Bible with you, you can open it up to Matthew chapter 5 as we return to look at the Sermon on the Mount in This, Not That, Part 2.
Now, this section that we're going to be looking at today of the Sermon on the Mount has been used by a lot of people to say one of two things. Either A, there are a great deal of contradictions in the Bible, and even Jesus contradicted the Word of God, using this section as an example. Or B, the Old Testament is null and void. Jesus came and took away the law. And what we're going to find out is that actually, neither of those is true. The words of Jesus here neither contradict the Old Testament, nor do they nullify it, and, in fact, go a little bit deeper into understanding of what the Old Testament tells us and what the law reveals to us. Therefore, let us hear the word of the Lord for us today. You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, "You shall not murder. And whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, 'You fool,' you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. It was also said, 'Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce.' But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than that comes from the evil one. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Looking at the text, but especially from last week, here's a little lead-in to what we're looking at today. The last part of what we read last week began with, "Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished." And we looked at this in some depth last week. But this is what he says. "Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Now, we are talking this week about do this, not that. And to say this means this right here, what is right before us. And that is something else, away from us. What Jesus is talking about is these commandments, the commandments that he's about to issue, talking about anger and lust and divorce and making oaths. Those are the commandments that he's talking about right at this moment. He says, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments, which commandments, Jesus? These commandments, which I'm about to give to you right now. And so he says, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, you fool, you will be liable to the hell of fire. You have heard that it was said. He's talking about the oral tradition that grew up out of what was written. In other words, the rabbis took what was written and they interpreted it and turned it into something called the oral tradition, which was their version of the law. And the scribes and the Pharisees knew that oral tradition backwards and forwards, and that is why Jesus said, your righteousness needs to exceed theirs. Because they have this oral tradition. They've taken the law of God and they have corrupted it, and they've said, this far you shall go and no further. So if the word of God says, do not kill, do not commit murder, well then, that's what we will observe. We will not commit murder. This far you shall come. You go as far as you can without committing murder, but as long as you don't commit murder, you don't sin. This is what Jesus says. If you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. Just being angry. Why anger? Because murder is an outward and physical act of anger. Have you ever heard of somebody murdering somebody when they weren't angry with them? I mean, actually murder. I mean, I'm not talking about like manslaughter. It was accidental death due to negligence or some sort of accident that happened. I'm talking about the willful destruction of a human life comes at the end, usually, of a long and prescribed bout of anger. Sometimes in a fit of rage. If you ever watch shows on TV like Forensic Files or Snapped, you know that murder doesn't come at the end of a long, loving discourse. It's a result of a sudden and violent anger, and often that anger has been festering over a period of time. You know, how often do we come to communion? We come to the communion and we read the communion liturgy. The invitation says, Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Think about that for a second. How often have we come to communion and we had something against somebody? We had something against our brother. We were angry. Maybe we're sitting there in the pews thinking, you know, I can't believe she said that. I can't believe she said that. I have absolutely refused to go on social media Saturday night or Sunday morning because I know that if I do, I'll come into church all tweaked up, you know? And I don't want to do that because this is where I come to love God, not to hate somebody else. All right, so I've gone on quite a bit about anger. Telling on myself, by the way. Anger is a big bugaboo for me, I'm not going to lie. So let's talk about something more pleasant. Let's talk about lust. So Jesus is talking about, and again, he says, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. And where is that written? That is written in the Ten Commandments. But again, the oral tradition rises up out of this. You shall not commit adultery. Again, go that far and no farther. You can go up to the act of adultery. Well, what can constitute an act of adultery? You know, is it the actual physical act itself? Is it maybe just kissing? Is kissing adultery? What if you're just talking to another, a person of the opposite sex who is not your spouse, and you're checking them out? That's what Jesus is talking about here. But when Jesus is talking about plucking out eyes and cutting off limbs, is he speaking literally or figuratively? I mean, do we see huge bands of Christians roaming around with no hands and no eyes? The question is, does our physical body cause us to sin? Or is it that which is within us? It's the content of your heart. In Mark chapter 7, he says, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and they defile a person. It's not our physical body that causes us to sin. It's what's in us that does that. Now, the marriage vows talk about forsaking all others. And that includes not looking at other men and women as eye candy. How many times are we flipping through a magazine and there's an ad for something? And speaking to the men, you know, maybe a woman in a bikini. You know, do you ever wonder that the swimsuit issue of Sports Illustrated is the best-selling issue of the whole year? You know? Guys reading about basketball and baseball, but all of a sudden they're interested in bathing fashions. Right? Like, wow, those suits are really, you know, like they're looking at the suits. Did you ever wonder how a book like 50 Shades of Grey sold 125 million copies? How the opening weekend for that movie was $82 million? And this past weekend, the sequel came out, 50 Shades Darker, and it's opening to a projected $48 million. What are we doing? I read an article from a guy, he went to see it, and a Christian, I should say, a Christian pastor went to see it. Why? Research. I feel bad for the guy, I really do. I'm being earnest here. I mean, I don't know if I could handle it. I have not spent a dime on any of the books or the movies, and I will not spend even a minute of my attention for any of those things because I know that I cannot handle it. As a man, I can't handle it. But this guy went, forced himself to go, and he said like 90% of the audience was women. What are we doing? But Jesus said, all it takes is lust. All you have to do is look at another person with lust and you've already committed adultery in your heart. So in other words, he's taking what people have said, the oral tradition, and he's taking it one step further and saying, it's not just what you do, it's what you think, it's what you feel, it's what's in your heart. That's what has to change. Then we get to divorce. Did I tell you how excited I was about this message, by the way? anger, lust, divorce. Oh my goodness. And I'm really feeling like the spotlight is on me today. It was also said, again he says said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. And Jesus does give us one exception for allowing divorce. And that is unchastity. The word is that's rendered there as unchastity is actually the Greek word porneia, from which we get our word pornography. Porneia, it really means any kind of sexual immorality. And for a Jewish audience, they would understand what sexual immorality is. Sexual immorality is found in Leviticus chapter 18, spelled out very clearly in the law. And so Jesus says, if anyone divorces his wife except on the ground of sexual immorality, he causes her to commit adultery. Now, why does he go that far? Because elsewhere, he says that divorce was never part of God's plan for human relationships, but that we should be joined together for all our lives. The Pharisees came up to Jesus and tested him and said, is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause? And he answered, have you not read, there's the word read because it is written, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female and said, therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. We still use those words in our wedding liturgy. But how many people actually give thought to those words? How many times I've counseled many couples, and by the grace of God, I'm so grateful that none of them have divorced. But I've only been a pastor 3 years, so... So far, I'm batting 1,000, but we'll see, you know. But every time I say, you know, this is a lifelong commitment. And forsaking all others means not having wandering eyes. And until death do us part means until death do us part. It's a lifelong commitment. Some people do take that seriously. But increasingly in our society, we see a lot more people who see marriage as a temporary thing, a way station, a stopping point. You know, he may not be Mr. Right, but he's Mr. Right now. That's the way that we look at things anymore. And anymore, a lot of young people aren't even getting married because they see the statistics. They see the statistics that divorce is so prevalent, and they say, well, I don't want any part of that, and so instead they just live together. Well, that's not any better. There needs to be some level of commitment. God's word even says that we will leave, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. That was his design from the very beginning. We find those words in the second chapter of Genesis. Again, all the way from the very beginning. It was part of God's plan. So now we come to oaths. He says, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all. Don't swear at all. Just speak honest truth. Just speak the truth. Let your word be bond. You know, there was once a time when a person's word was supposed to mean something. I give you my word. And, oh, you give me your word. That really means something. Today, it doesn't mean anything. And nobody even says that anymore. When's the last time you heard somebody say, I give you my word? Because people's word doesn't mean anything anymore. Not when we have people in government positions talking about alternative facts. How about Proverbs 29? If a ruler listens to falsehood, all his officials will be wicked. The ninth commandment says, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And Proverbs 12 says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight. And then Proverbs in chapter 6, there are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. Proverbs 6 might as well be a summation of this whole sermon. Because God calls us to a higher standard than the world does. And his way is much more difficult than the way of the world. The world says to us, be angry, look lustfully, get divorced, tell alternative facts. But Jesus tells us that all those things, like the physical sins that they lead to, are also sins of the heart. It's the heart that God looks at, not the outward appearance. And we can keep all those commandments and still sin in these commandments that Jesus gives us in the Sermon on the Mount. But God gives us a choice. And the choice comes from within. We read today that Moses declared to the people of Israel, I have set before you life and death, blessing and a curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice and holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers. Today we have that same choice before us. This, not that. Life, not death. And Jesus is calling us to choose life. Father God, help us to choose life this day. Help us to turn away from the wickedness of our unregenerate hearts. We want to live like Jesus calls us to live. We want to put aside anger and the lusts of our hearts. Fill us with your Holy Spirit that we may walk in the ways that leads to life eternal. We know it is a hard path and a narrow gate, but we choose that way today. Lord Jesus, you are the way. You are the truth. You are the life. And we choose life today. May we walk in your way from this day forward. We ask it in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
You know, I was asked one time, why would God allow us to choose? Why would God put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden and then tell them not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Well, God did not create us to be robots. God did not create us to be automatons. He created us with choice, and he allows us to choose because when we choose life, it makes that choice that much more dear to him. When we choose to love God, it makes that love much more powerful and more worthwhile. God pursues us. God loves us with an undying love. God loves us with the kind of unconditional love that can only be found in the words of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. God's love is patient and kind. God's love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful, and it does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but it rejoices with the truth. God's love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. God's love never ends. That's the kind of love that God offers to you today. So, if you've been waiting for the right moment, the right opportunity to give your life to Jesus Christ, maybe now is that moment. All you have to do is to invite God into your life to make Him your Lord and your Savior. Paul tells us that if we confess with our mouth Jesus Christ is Lord, and we believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we will be saved. Won't you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today? Well, that's about all we have for today for Guerrilla Christianity, and I want to thank you for joining us again. And once again, I just want to remind you that if you don't already have a church family, if you don't already belong to a church community, and if you live in the Salem County area, you can join us at Ebenezer United Methodist Church or at Hudson United Methodist Church in Pettertown. We also have Bible study during the week. And if our message has touched you in some way, I pray that you would let us know. Either you can email me directly at PastorBrettUMC@gmail.com, or you can leave a comment on the podcast page. And if you feel like this message makes an important impact in your life, wouldn't you consider sharing it with others through the social media platform of your choice? You can access this podcast through the webpage, through the Podbean app on Android devices, or through iTunes. All you have to do is search for Guerrilla Christianity. Well, I pray that this message has blessed you in some way, and I pray that you will continue to listen to our podcasts as we continue to unfold the pages of God's Word and His love for us day by day. I pray that you will join us again next time for Guerrilla Christianity. God bless you.